Welcome to this week's episode of the A1 Show. Before I crack into this, in place of where everyone else would typically have a sponsor, I'm going to ask you to give me your attention for 1 minute, probably less. I've started a Patreon channel. If anyone doesn't know what Patreon is a way for you, the listener, to support me, the creator. My idea with this is, if you would be willing to buy me a pint of beer once a month to say thank you for the hard work in the podcast, this is your chance to do that. It helps to keep this show coming to you every single week, and your donations and contributions are much welcomed and appreciated. I'm going to put a link to the Patreon channel down below in the description, and I would much appreciate if you check it out. Okay, let's get on with the episode. Thanks for joining me again. It's been a busy week. Anyone who's following us on YouTube, you will know what I'm talking about. I suppose that's the best place to begin, is a roundup of what I've been doing on YouTube, because what I've been doing on YouTube is largely what I've been up to for the week. So the daily vlog is still progressing. We're still shooting on. I put out one series this week on YouTube, which I think is quite meaningful. And the balance on YouTube, I think it's trying to find that mixture of it's entertaining, come with me on, check out my day, vlog style, reviews, which people find informative, but largely like a review last week, like of Bond shoes, isn't that good unless you're considering buying Bond shoes. So I wanted to get something which I think is of value to everyone. So I've started putting together a new training series. If anyone hasn't checked that out, I will link it up down below. The idea with the training series is to try and give you the tools to definitely to critically analyze your own training if you're going to self-coach, and if you are going to go with a coach, to evaluate that coach's performance, because there's a lot of charlatans out there and there's a lot of people, you know, coaching that, you know, it's just the nature of an industry where there's no barriers to entry, where anybody thinks they can be a coach, and largely anybody can be a coach, and consumer demand will determine whether they stay there for the long run or whether they disappear. But the series will definitely give you tools to objectively evaluate your coach's performance and see if he is doing the right sort of stuff, or if you're self-coached, it's going to help point you in the right direction. So the first one I talked about the other day, it's how I determine if somebody's goals are realistic. So what we do is we look at somebody's background, we assess somebody's background, and then we look at their commitment level. And it's the kind of equation is, it's commitment level plus background equals scope of potential goal. Then we need to use our experience and put sort of a realistic filter on it. So if you're telling me you have 5 hours a week and you're not coming from an athletic background, but you want to win a stage in the Tour de France this year, something doesn't add up. That was one of the vlogs that's worth checking out. I also had another one on one of the keys to cycling longevity and staying in the sport for a long time, which I thought was an interesting vlog. And the idea there is being flexible with your cycling. Like, if you're building your whole week and your whole day around your cycling, honestly, you're not going to be in the sport that long. There needs to be a degree of flexibility in when you're doing your sessions. Yeah, we all want to get our sessions in, but we need to live our life as well. We're not pro athletes. Cycling isn't the most important thing in our life. If you wake up in the morning and you feel like having a lazy Sunday morning with your girlfriend, with your husband, wife, partner, whatever, do it. You can do your session later in the day. You know, if the weather forecast is to be good that morning, bad that evening, look, go on the indoor trainer, but figure it out. You can move stuff around your life. Don't think you can't go to that birthday party. Don't think you can't go away for that weekend, because your cycling's going to suffer and your stress score is going to drop in your training. So I've been that guy. I've chased those figures, and it's not worth doing. It's definitely not worth doing. It doesn't lead to long-term happiness. The last little bit of roundup before I crack into today's substantive topic, which is really interesting topic today. I'm actually excited to answer it, because normally I have a degree of preparation done for these podcasts and I largely know what I'm going to say. In this one, I know what the questions are, but I don't know the answers, and I'm going to have to think it on the fly. It's interesting. Stick with it. Zwift was the other one, other podcast that I of note this week. I've made the dive into Zwift. I'd never been a fan of virtual racing. I haven't actually competed in a virtual race yet, but I've done a couple of sessions. found the sessions largely poor that were pre-programmed, so I brought across some of my own workouts and I'd done a video around that. That was a bit of crack. Enjoyed the week of vlogging, and yeah, don't see any reason why I won't be bouncing on for another week. Will I get the full year? Look, only time will tell, only time will tell. Okay, so recently I was reading a book by an author I quite enjoy. I'm a sucker, if you're a regular watcher of this, listener to this podcast, I'm a sucker for a self-help, whoa, that was a tongue twister. You know I'm a sucker for a self-help book. And Tim Ferriss is an author I found many years ago. I think my first introduction to him was The 4-Hour Workweek. A book I've had on the coffee table for a while now. It's not one you'll read cover to cover, so I just pick it up and I read a chapter and put it back down. But it's quotes from it and stuff are constantly on my mind because I'm reading it in a piecemeal fashion. It's called Tribe of Mentors, and the concept is Tim Ferriss talks to, I don't know, maybe 200 of the most influential people that he can get access to. And he's a pretty good network, so he hits some pretty big hitters in this book. But he asked them all nearly the same questions. And there's probably six questions, and he asks four of the six questions to every single person he interviews. And it's interesting to read through commonalities that some of them have. And there's one large, large commonality that I want to talk to you about on this podcast. But I thought it'd be interesting to go through and answer the questions that he has asked myself. And yeah, I've done no preparation for this. So I just got the questions. Like Sarah literally wrote the questions down and passed them to me just before I went on air. And I'm going to honestly answer them. And I felt that was the best way to give you an honest answer. So the first question I'm going to answer is, what books have you given most as a gift and why? Oh, I actually know the answer for this because I gave it the last two Christmases. I've given this book to two people in each of the last two Christmases, and I think that makes it my most gifted book. The book is called Man's Search for Meaning, and the author is Viktor Frankl. It's a book about, if anyone hasn't read it, it's only a short book, but it's a fascinating read. The book is about a concentration camp prisoner in World War, and in Second World War, and he's looking for meaning. He's looking for a reason to continue, a reason to get up in the morning. But there's some, firstly, I'll go, okay, so there's some chilling scenes in it, pure entertainment as a reader, but and really transports you back to the concentration camp and just how grim it is. So it's a brilliantly written first half of the book, and there's one scene I remember that's actually, it's shocking. They were basically sleeping, I think, like 5-6 guys to a bed. No mattresses on the bed, no pillows, no quilts, anything like that. A wooden pallet, basically. 6 lads sleeping on it. There wasn't enough room even to lie on their back, so it was side by side. And the guy beside him was having a horrific dream. And he said his instinct was to wake him up. And then he said he just paused for a second and he thought. And he said, no matter how bad the nightmare that this lad is having in his dream, that it's has to be more pleasant than the reality he was going to wake him up to. So he let him sleep through that nightmare. That was a crazy one for me. And it's littered with examples like that of just how grim and stark it was, from the hunger they experienced to the torture to the humiliation. But the second half of the book focuses on why go on? Why not take a run at the barbed wire and let the guard shoot you like a lot of people opted to do? And he essentially came to the conclusion that no matter how bad, no matter how grave the circumstances that we're facing are daily, we still have a choice. We still have freedom of choice of how to react to these circumstances. So they can't make us be sad. They can't make us depressed. They can inflict grave humiliation and torture on us, but they don't control our reaction to that grave humiliation and torture. And I think given the circumstances that he was in, you can't but take an unbelievably powerful lesson from that, where some of us are getting reeled down because, you know, the monotony of our work or relationship mightn't be where it's meant to be. Or you might think you've just hit a brick wall with whether it's cycling progression or life progression and you get a little bit down. But to just think that you do get to control how you react to those circumstances. And even in the face of massive adversity, Viktor Frankl decided that he wasn't going to let this ruin his life, decided that he wasn't going to let him bring him misery every day. And he found joy in every day in small things like a butterfly going past. And it's a great book. It's a great read. Boom. That was number one. Yahoo. The second one is something I've spoke about before, and it's actually poignant timing because it's something I wanted to talk to you about today as well. It's, do you have a morning routine? And this was one of the big commonalities across the book, morning routine. Top performers in every industry, from sports to entertainment to fashion to authors, actors, every single top performer, nearly without exception in the book, had a morning routine. Now, some of those morning routines could have been like Tony Robbins, where he does a gratitude journal where he says it's impossible to be angry and grateful at the same time. So each morning he lists three things he's grateful for. To Jocko Willick, who's the retired Navy SEAL. And Jocko Willick has a routine of laying out his clothes the night before, which means he just gets up in the morning. He's an early riser, 4:30, crazy stuff. He actually posts his picture of his watch every morning on Instagram at the time he gets up. But yeah, I do have a morning routine. My morning routine, I've spoke about it before, I try meditate in the morning, whether I get in 5 minutes or whether I get in 15 minutes, I always try and get it in. Meditating doesn't have to be something where you're going to a special room or a special place. It can be just lying in your bed and going through, checking in with your body, checking in with each part of your body, counting your breaths, focusing on your breaths, and just mindful. It helps me be less reactive to stuff that comes up during the day. So it helps me be more leveled. There's also a great app, Headspace, which will bring you through a guided meditation, which is worth checking out. I meditate, I walk the dog, I have a cold shower, I have a coffee, and I try journal as often as I can. So that's kind of my morning routine. The idea of having a morning routine is you're fully in control. There's so many things that pop up during the day that we're not in control of. We're not in control of so many of the, from traffic to work circumstances to the weather, we're not in control of a lot of that. So taking back control of what we are in control of, and we're able to control our morning routine. And when we can control our morning routine, we start a positive momentum which snowballs into the rest of the day. It can be things like getting your session done, being more productive at work, better quality relationships. But here's a study we carried out. Now, look, it's not the biggest study in the world, but it's meaningful for me because I know all the clients personally, but also it's just the numbers are so stark. So we have a program, which I'm going to talk to you about in a second, and it's called Win the Morning, Win the Day. And I talk to you about how to execute the perfect morning routine in this program, and I give you recommendations that you should carry out each morning, and you follow these recommendations for 30 days. And I call it Win the Morning, Win the Day. So coming into the new year, I had 20 clients, and I asked the 20 clients to all make a New Year resolution. I made my New Year resolution, which a lot of you know, it's around photography and videography, and I committed to bringing a vlog daily. I didn't use myself as part of this sample group, but if you do, that bumps it up to 21 clients. So the 20 clients all made New Year resolutions. They were non-cycling resolutions. They were small things. Well, they actually weren't small things. Some of them were like taking Spanish lessons, taking up art, writing a poem once a week, things like this. The 20 clients committed to this resolution. Now, 10 of the clients, I put them onto the Win the Morning, Win the Day routine. So every morning, they had to firstly complete this video course, and secondly, they had to execute on it. It's maybe 10, 15 minutes of work in the morning. So I say work in inverted commas, because it's not actually 10, 15 minutes of work. It's 10 to 15 minutes of executing a routine in the mornings. And I checked back in last week to see who was still keeping up on their New Year resolutions. And the results are absolutely unbelievable. So 9 out of 10 of the people who done the Win the Morning, Win the Day are still continuing with their New Year resolution. Now, if you throw me into that mix, because I'm a morning routine person also, you're looking at 10 out of 11 people have stayed with their morning have stayed with their New Year resolution. And if you contrast this, this is almost unbelievable. If you contrast this to the people who picked the New Year resolution but didn't complete the win the morning, win the day routine, only 1 out of 10 is still doing their New Year resolution. Isn't that unbelievable? It's incredible. It's astonishing to me. So this is why we're launching at the moment. Well, I suppose this is the official announcement of the launch. We have an 8-week challenge coming up. We run these 8-week challenges periodically, and I think it's a great time to run an 8-week challenge because firstly, we've got that kind of Christmas slumber out of the system. The January, we're all broke and we're all, you know, have weird motivations. I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a day, all that. And we've kind of got back to normal life now in February. But we're also edging close to spring when we all want to be in shape, get out on the bike, start racing, start sportives. So it's an 8-week challenge that we've launched. And part of the 8-week challenge I made sure to include is the Win the Morning, Win the Day video course. The other parts of it are, I'm going to link it down below, but you can check it out yourself. But the other parts of it are, it's an 8-week. I don't coach a lot of people. Haven't for a number of years, but I'm going to be personally building training plans for everyone on the 8-week challenge. Diet, I think, is a thing that everybody starts to slip on again in February after the good intentions of January. So I've added a dietary course into this. There's a bunch of stuff into this. I'm going to link it down below. It's well worth checking out. It's the 8-week challenge. But yeah, can you believe those stats on the win the morning, win the day and compliance with the New Year resolution? It was shocking to me, but there you go. So that was a long way. As anyone who's a regular listener to the podcast will know, I am great for these tangents. So that was a long way of answering the do I have a morning routine question from Tim Ferriss. Yes, I do have a morning routine. Thanks for asking. Next question, in case you thought I was waffling more on that previous point and laboring it further. What purchase of $100 or less has most positively impacted your life? Well, this one's a no-brainer for me. It's a dog. We recently got a second dog. Dogs are brilliant. If you don't have a dog, they're great. They're a lot of responsibility, but dogs are great. They're great for getting you out of a funk. They're great for getting you out of the house and walking them in the morning. They're always in a good mood. They're a responsibility, but yeah, they bring so much. They bring so much laughter and joy, and they're good crack. I wouldn't be without a dog. We've two now, so yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be without a dog, but I also wouldn't be with a third dog. So that was an easy one to answer. And the final question for this week's podcast is, this is a deep one. How has failure or apparent failure set you up for later success? Do you have a favorite failure? This is actually something that I've been meaning to record a full podcast on, and I am going to get to it because it's something that it's a period of my life that it was a hard period of my life. I've definitely had periods. People say they kind of go down a road and it veers without them ever really knowing, and then they look back and they're in a different place. I haven't had that experience. I've had hard crossroads, and I do make a lot of choices. I make decisions, and it was definitely a decision I made probably 12 months ago at this stage, where I'd gone down the sort of entrepreneurial route, for want of a better word, where I was running A1 coaching, but I'd also on the side set up a social media marketing agency called Soapbox, and I'd bought a local cafe called Fuel, and I was finding myself just wasn't as happy as I used to be. You know, on the scale of happy to depressed, like, I'm not claiming I was depressed, but I hadn't got the same level of happiness. I hadn't got the same level of energy that I always had. And I had a good buddy who just advises me on a lot of stuff. And he said, look, just press pause on everything and reflect and see if this is a route you want to go. And that period of reflection meant that I didn't see a future in the media company or the cafe, that I couldn't see it. It wasn't bringing me happiness. When I thought about how many minutes, how many hours, how many days I had left to live, and I'm about to die anytime soon sense, but we're all on a limited clock here. And I just thought, like, why am I wasting time doing stuff that I don't absolutely love? Like, I love cycling. I love talking about cycling. I love talking about self-help, productivity, development. I love learning. I'm a constant lifelong learner. And I think a great way to deepen your understanding of a topic is to share it. And that's what I wanted to do, not make flat whites for people, not post pictures of avocados and figure out how to tweak people's Facebook ad spend. And I'd just gone down a road that I didn't want to be down. And I suppose there's a part of me as well, there's almost a validation that I never came from cash. We're a normal middle to working class family, and there's, I suppose, a little bit of an external validation that, like, oh, he's made it, he has a cafe, and you're looking for that kind of social kudos. But I quickly realized that that's not me, and that's not what I want, and that's not what I seek. And I actually came to dislike that I'd prefer not to have it. So there was an element of that as well. I would have to say that I'm going to get my thoughts fully down on this one, because I think that was a life pivoting moment for me. And I know we all have those ones, whether it's to start a relationship, end a relationship, start a job, move house. There's some tough decisions to be made, but I think you need to make decisions. Decisions are hard to make, but decisions will bring you to a place you want to go. Like, omission and not making a decision is as bad as making a decision. So I would definitely encourage hard decisions to be made. But I would have to say Soapbox and Fuel, it would be my standout for how has failure or apparent failure set you up for later success. That would be my favorite failure. If I hadn't have got out of those two businesses, I definitely would not be as happy as I am now. If that makes sense. It doesn't even make brilliant sense, because I don't want to claim that the route I've taken now is a massive success, but I think success is, without sounding too corny, success is within, and success is how you view the path you've taken yourself. And for me, it's where I get to constantly learn and I get to constantly grow. That's what I'm looking for, and that's success to me. So yeah, that's a tough question, and one I'm definitely going to think on maybe for tomorrow's morning routine. I might even journal on it. Who knows? Guys, it's been a different, challenging, and at times a little bit emotional of an episode. Really thank you for your attention. I love the podcast. I am growing to love YouTube, but the podcast, I love that little passive whisper in your ear as you're out running or on the bike. So I do thank you for your attention. I will chat to you all next week. Thanks for listening. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Just a brief note to mention once again our Patreon account. The Patreon account is what helps keep this podcast going. It's what helps fund it. It's what helps bring it to you guys every single week. If you would be willing to buy me a pint of beer once a month to say, you know what, thanks for your hard work on the podcast this month, this is your chance to do it on the Patreon account. I'm going to link it up in the description below, and I'm going to chat to you next week.